Got your Bibles this evening. Go to Matthew chapter number 12. As we're going this evening, we're leaving behind the book of Revelation. Just something here I was reading recently, not too long ago. I was actually reading the account in Luke, but I chose to turn to Matthew for this text. And I have a reason for it, but it's not really important for tonight for the message. But as we're going to look at something tonight, I want to bring back to your mind that as Jesus was here on this earth, he made some pretty amazing statements while he was here. We could listen to some of the classic statements that came from the lips of our Lord, and I love some of these statements because there's such authority behind them, and almost just a sense of wonder when you really consider what he says. In John 8:58, he looked at the crowd there and he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." In other words, before Abraham was ever born, before Abraham was ever thought of, they hadn't. Abraham's mom and daddy didn't even have a name picked out yet. He said, "I existed all eternally before that." John 10:30, he said, "I and my Father are one." Could you imagine looking at a Jewish carpenter and he says, "I and my Father," and he's talking about the God of heaven, "are one"? Could you imagine the looks on people's faces when he said something like that? John 14:9, he looked at his disciples and he said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Man, you know, they wanted to know. Disciples asked, "You know, Jesus, where are you going? I want to go with you." He said, "Well, you know, you've seen me, you know the way." He said, "Well, what do you mean? How have we seen God?" He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." These are some amazing statements that Jesus made. These are exclusive statements that you can't put in any other category. He's not just a good teacher. He's got to be the Lord of glory. John 6:35, he stood up before the crowd there and he said, "I am the bread of life." And he said, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Man, he was a God who made great statements while he was here. But I'll tell you something, not only that, he could back them all up. They were true statements, and I thank God for that this evening. Tonight, we're going to look at one of these amazing claims of our Lord that he makes here in Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to give, where he is here, giving response to the scribes and the Pharisees who wanted some proof as to the validity of his claims. And I want us to read just one verse of scripture here, Matthew chapter 12, verse number 42. Hopefully, you've had time to turn there. Maybe you're just a page or two away, but Matthew 12, verse number 42, familiar verse here, but I want us to look at it tonight. It says this, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." I want to take my title from this verse and preach just a little while tonight on a greater than Solomon is here. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening. We give you honor and praise. Lord, we thank you for your Son, the gift of your Son. Lord, the revelation of your word, Lord, as he speaks and he declares, "A greater than Solomon is here. Before Abraham was, I am. I and my Father are one. I am the good shepherd, Lord," and the list goes on. And I pray for a few moments as we look through this text and we consider the implications of it, that you'd elevate our view of you once again. I know we hold a high view, but lift it higher tonight, Father, through your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd reach down, that Christ would be glorified in the church, world without end, and let it be done for your glory. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Jesus here was talking to the Pharisees, and as we know about these Pharisees, they appreciated large displays of religious pomp and circumstance. They loved it when a crowd gathered and people started looking at them. That's something that they prided themselves in. And undoubtedly, this reference to Solomon and all of his glory would have gotten their attention and would have impressed their imagination to think about this great king and all of his glory by the name of Solomon. One of the greatest kings that we read about in way of glory and pomp and circumstance and all of these things. But here, Jesus declares something about this grand king that had to catch them off guard. He says, the queen of the south, which we know as the queen of Sheba from the book of 1 Kings, had come from a great distance, most likely from the area of Ethiopia. She made a long and difficult journey to see Solomon in all of his glory. But here in the crowd that day, Jesus said something that they were not expecting. He said, but now here standing before you today, there is one that is much greater than Solomon ever was. And my, what a statement this is. And I want us to look at it tonight. In their blind ignorance, the scribes and the Pharisees would have missed such a statement. I wonder what might have went through their minds when this peasant prophet made such a claim about himself, that he was greater than Solomon. Just go with me. This is where my mind goes. And just follow the trail with me if you would tonight. Maybe perhaps they said, well, Solomon was King David's son, but you're a carpenter's son. Solomon was in a palace, but I hear that you were born in a stable. Solomon was born in the majestic city of Jerusalem, which is the Zion of God, but you were born in the hole-in-the-wall town by the name of Bethlehem. Solomon had many servants, but I've heard you declare that you came not to be served, but to serve others. Solomon wore the finest of king's robes, but you are dressed in a peasant's garment. Solomon drank from golden vessels, but you ask Samaritan sinners for a drink of water. Oh, Solomon was rich beyond compare, but it is obvious, Jesus, you are poor and you have no place to even live. Solomon had armies, but you have a few ragtag disciples that they say and declare later of themselves that they have no formal education. Solomon had built great cities and buildings, but you're nothing more than a carpenter's son. About the best thing you might have built was a plowshare or a chair. But Solomon built cities. Solomon lived in a palace, but you declare yourself to have no place to lay your head. Solomon ate with dignitaries and kings, yet you have said yourself that you eat with publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. My, maybe these are just some of the things that would have been coming through their mind. How in the world then, Jesus, could you say a greater than Solomon is here? This particular reference that Jesus makes is found in 1 Kings chapter 10. And I want you to turn there this evening. I want to look at it together. And I want us to see how Jesus, I know we know this, but just remind us of how a greater than Solomon is here. Number one, Jesus is greater in his wisdom. 1 Kings chapter number 10 this evening. We'll read the first three verses there for this beginning of our text here, our first point. 1 Kings 10 and 1. And when the king of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. Oh, this queen comes here, we know the story, bearing great gifts, but she also comes with some hard questions, looking to see if what she had heard about King Solomon was actually true. Was it really true that he's the wisest man, the wisest king that has ever ruled? Is it really true that he stands and he makes judgments that no man has ever made like that before? She wanted to know if Solomon was truly the wisest man that had ever lived. Try as she made, she could not stump him. No matter what question she asked him, She come bearing some hard questions. And I'll tell you tonight, you can come with me with certain questions and I might not have an answer for you. You can try and you might not have to try very hard to stump this preacher tonight. But when she come with her best questions, when she come with all of the entourage that she came with, she arrived with the hardest questions she could think of, and none of them stumped Solomon. Why was that? Because 1 Kings 10 and 24 tells us God had given Solomon the supernatural gift of wisdom. I like the way the Bible records it. And all the earth, it says in verse number 24, sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. In Scripture, we get a glimpse at the great wisdom which Solomon was blessed with from the Lord. He wrote the book of Proverbs. Anybody ever read through the book of Proverbs before? Oh, I'm sure you have. You read there. Have you ever been amazed at the wisdom that is shared there? This man that didn't just know a little bit about a lot of things, but he knew a lot about a lot of things. He understood how things work. He had a mind not only for nature, he had a mind for personal relationships. And as you read through the book of Proverbs, you begin to realize that Solomon had vast wisdom about many subjects. He knew theology, he knew philosophy, he knew biology, and he knew sociology. What incredible wisdom is shared in the great book of Proverbs. I encourage you to read it. Read through it and apply it to your life. The Bible also tells us that he loved to study nature. You don't have to turn there, but you can just listen if you would like. 1 Kings 4 and 33. This is what the Bible says about Solomon. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast and of fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. While Solomon's wisdom reached to the extents beyond our imagination, it doesn't even compare to the wisdom of Jesus. While he could talk about all of these different subjects, he could tell you about nature like none other before him. He could tell you how things worked out in nature. That's why he uses so many references to nature in his writing. He had studied these things. He had looked at it. He tells you to consider the ant, to consider the hare, to consider the spider that's in the palace of kings. He had looked at all of these things, but it does not even compare to the wisdom of Jesus. Because those trees and those beasts that Solomon wrote about, can I tell you tonight and remind you, Jesus was the one who created them. Because in John chapter 1 and verse number 3, he said all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So Solomon, you can write about it, but Jesus created it. Solomon may have studied the fish, but can I tell you, Jesus knew where to tell the disciples to cast down their net so they could bring in enough fish to practically sink 2 boatloads of men. Oh, Solomon might could have told you about the different fish there. Oh, but Jesus knew where to point them so they could catch more fish than they ever imagined. Solomon would have known something about how the wind worked. But can I tell you something about Jesus? When he stood up on a boat and he said, "Peace be still," the winds and the waves laid down at his feet because they had to obey him. He knew more than just how the wind worked. He knew how to command the wind because he was and is the master of the wind. Oh yes, Solomon could tell you how to navigate the sea because the Bible tells us that he sent out ships unto Tarshish. He knew how to navigate the sea, but can I tell you, Jesus knew how to navigate the sea without a ship. Because the Bible tells me that he went down, and while the winds and the waves blew, oh, he walked upon the waters, and he didn't have to have a ship to navigate the waters. He walked on top of the waters. Talking about one greater than Solomon. Oh, yeah. Truly greater than Solomon is here. You know what I find amazing though is that all of Solomon's wisdom never satisfied his heart. Oh, Ecclesiastes, he's writing in his old age in Ecclesiastes 1 and 17, and he says these words. He said, "I gave my heart to know wisdom. and to know madness and folly. And I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. In other words, what is Solomon saying there? He said, was it all pointless? Was it all empty? No, it had value. But he said, at the end of it all, wisdom alone is not the answer. The more a man or a woman knows, the more they would discover that there is a lot of things that they have yet to learn. You'll find that, even about that Bible. The more you learn about it, you're going to find the more you have yet to learn. I read this quote about Albert Einstein, one of the smartest men to live in recent history, and he once said these words. He said, I feel like a man chained. If I could only be freed from the shackles of my intellectual smallness, then I could understand the universe in which I live. He said, I feel bound. Oh, he said, if I could only understand. I'm talking about Albert Einstein. The man who had more wisdom and more knowledge, we'll say that way, than many of us even could ever imagine having. A man who understand the principles of physics and could tell you all of these things about how the laws of nature worked. But he said, I feel like my intellectual smallness is what binds me from being able to understand more. Because wisdom in and of itself cannot fill the void. Solomon had made this same discovery in all of his learning, but I'll tell you this, Jesus had greater wisdom. You can have a full mind and an empty heart, but let me tell you tonight, Jesus gives wisdom that satisfies the wellsprings of the innermost being. Wisdom so simple, a child can understand it, but so filling that I've never met one that truly partook of it and could say they left empty. Isn't that something to think about? The vastness of his wisdom. Oh yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:30 tells me that Jesus is made unto us all wisdom. Ephesians 1:8 says, he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom. Oh yes, in Jesus Christ, we have the wisdom that is necessary to fill our longing soul. I thank God for that this evening. I'm not well versed in biology, which is the study of life, but can I tell you, I know Jesus who came to bring life and that more abundantly. I don't know very much about geology and the ages of rocks, but can I tell you tonight, I know the rock of ages. Oh, I don't know very much about philosophy, but I do know one who stood and said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and if any man comes after me, oh, he can live. I don't know a lot about a lot of things, but I know Jesus. And I'll tell you, he points me in the direction that I need to go. He truly is greater in his wisdom. Second thing tonight, look at Jesus is greater in his works. As we look through the Bible, and I'm sure you've studied and looked at it before, Solomon was a man who accomplished some truly great works in his life. His wisdom allowed him to do some incredible things. First thing we see there, and I just mentioned tonight, he built a great house for himself. 1 Kings 10:4, the Bible says this, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built. My, what a house it was. Solomon's house would have been something to behold in and of itself. Did you know it took him 13 years to complete that house, according to 1 Kings 7? I don't have time to describe the house that he built to you, but you can read about it for yourself in 1 Kings 7. It was 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, covered in cedar and filled with 45 different pillars. It had a front porch for his throne to sit under. It was absolutely incredible. Beautiful house. He built for himself, 13 years in the making. Well, I don't have time to tell you all about it. Ladies, perhaps you can read about it sometime and you can convince your husbands maybe to build you one like that one day. Incredible house. Unbelievable. The Queen of Sheba went there and she saw this and she beheld it. And I can only imagine what went through her mind. Can I tell you, while Solomon built a dream house, Jesus is building a greater one? Because in John chapter 14 and verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare you a place." Oh yes, Solomon built himself a nice house. But can I tell you tonight, Jesus is building a nicer one than Solomon could ever build. And by the grace of God, I'm going to dwell there one day. Oh, hallelujah. That little shack that Solomon built doesn't even compare to the place that is prepared for us. That ain't nothing more than just a little shanty house compared to the mansion that Jesus is building for those who love him. I thank God for that this evening. Not only was he great in the work of his house, but also Solomon set up an impressive table feeding people. 1 Kings 10 and 5 says, "The queen of Sheba noticed the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord." And she said, when she beheld all of this, there was no more spirit left in her. Solomon set up a great table. He knew how to put on a feast, feed everybody that come. Oh yeah, that's what it says here. To go to dinner in Solomon's house would have been an experience that would have blown away the most majestic royalty. And when the queen of Sheba beheld the great feast old Solomon provided, the Bible said there was no more spirit left in her. She said, I beheld it as they just, everybody had their place. Everybody had their own meal. There was enough food there for everybody. And she said, it was just incredible. It's more than you could ever describe to behold his table. But can I tell you, while Solomon knew how to throw a great dinner party, Jesus was still greater. Because Solomon couldn't feed such an entourage with just a little boy's lunch. He couldn't ever do it. I don't care how wise he was. I didn't care how many books he had studied. But if you had to put 5,000 men in front of him, not including women and children, Solomon couldn't have fed them. But my Bible tells me that Jesus took a little boy's lunch and he fed over 5,000 people. I'm talking about somebody who's greater in his works than Solomon could ever be. Oh yeah. Solomon couldn't do it, but Jesus could. Not only did he feed them, but I believe it was with bread that had never been baked in an oven and fish that had never swam in a sea. And he fed them there. Solomon didn't have any bread that had never been baked in an oven that he could feed 5,000 with, but Jesus did. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. If we consider who he is and we consider what he does, it doesn't even begin to compare to who Jesus is. Oh, yes. And he did all of this while sitting in the grass without a great banqueting table like Solomon's. Solomon couldn't turn well water into wine, but Jesus did. There's a lot of things Solomon couldn't do in spite of his wisdom. And even if Solomon could do these things, he could never serve the bread of life nor impart living water unto a thirsting soul. Oh, and I thank God this evening, as we sing that old song, "Come and Dine, the Master Calleth, Come and Dine." Oh, there's room at Jesus' table most any time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Solomon couldn't do it, but Jesus could. Take that well water and turn it into wine and satisfy the longing. Solomon built an impressive temple. That's what it talks about there in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 5. She took note of how he ascended up into the house of the Lord. Solomon didn't take her into the temple. He just let her stand at the steps that led up to the temple. And what an incredible temple it was. Historians tell us there's probably not been a more impressive structure ever built in the world over. Covered in gold. Tapestries that you cannot imagine. Oh, priceless. Could not even begin to imagine it. One historian talks about how it was written and it was known at that time. If you were to stand there before the temple and look as the sun began to rise in the east because the temple faced the east, you would stare at it and the reflection of the sun would almost blind you because of the grandeur of this temple that Solomon built for the Lord. What a temple it was. Oh, I was just, here's some statistics that I studied about it. It took 183,600 workers laboring for 7.5 years with the exception of the Sabbath day. This was even after Solomon's father David had collected much of the material for the temple to be built with. 7.5 years, over 180,000 workers working 6 days a week, most likely. Think about that. It faced the east and the sun would rise upon the front of this magnificent gold-plated structure, causing it to shine like the sun. But I want to tell you this evening that Jesus built a greater temple than that of Solomon's. The temple that Jesus built is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 19. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You say, Brother Shane, I'm not in comparison to that price tag. I could never pay for Solomon's temple. No, you couldn't. But guess what? Solomon's temple is no more to be found, but the temple of Jesus Christ is going to live forever. It's incorruptible. It'll never die this evening. And when the soldiers and the enemies trampled the Solomon's temple into the ground, oh, the temple of Jesus Christ can never be destroyed. It can never be done away with. It is an eternal temple. But yet, how often do we take that for granted? That we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, not a temple made with gold and silver and fine tapestries, but a temple made out of flesh and blood that can live, can move, and do the will of God. How much greater is that moving and living temple than the temple of Solomon? Because now we can bring glory unto God wherever we are. Oh yes, Jesus greater in his works. He built a greater temple. There's a couple more things I want to mention. I want to conclude with the words of the Queen of Sheba here in 1 Kings 10, and there's a few points I want to make here. It says in verse number 7, "Howbeit I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I have heard." The Queen of Sheba had heard about Solomon, but she didn't believe it until she could come and see it for herself. What she saw when she came, she left dumbfounded. The half has not even been told. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 7. Her trip to Jerusalem led her to some of the most personal conclusions. First of all, he was more wealthy than she had heard. She got more from him than she ever gave to him. Can I tell you? The same is true with Jesus Christ tonight. I have found him to be more wealthy than anybody ever told me he was, because I've got more from him than I've ever gave to him. Anybody else know that to be true tonight? I've received more at his hand than I have ever had to give for his glory. And what I have given, it has been an honor to give to him, because I know that I shall receive it back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, because he is the one who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. The half has not been told about his wealth. Second of all, he was more wise than she had ever heard, able to answer every one of her riddles. Can I tell you, Jesus has given meaning to my life. More than Solomon could ever do for the Queen of Sheba, he's given meaning and answers in my life when nobody else had the answer. And as the writer would put it, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. One who gives me answers in the midnight hour, and who walks and talks with me and shares his truth with me every day that I live. And not only that, he was more wonderful than she had ever heard. She concluded that even the half of his glory and greatness had not been told her. Can I tell you, no matter what we could say about him tonight, we could not exhaust his glory. I can't exhaust Jesus to you tonight. This is just a little short sermon. You say, well, why are you preaching that tonight, Brother Shane? I'll tell you a little bit of why I'm preaching that tonight, because we're getting ready to celebrate Easter. And you know what? I want to bring our minds to the resurrection. When Jesus Christ died and rose again, it's not just somebody else that died and rose, but there's nobody like him.
Oh, he's infinite in his wisdom. He's majestic in his mercy. Oh, you cannot put a limit to his grace. You'll never find out his understanding. You can never comprehend his moving and his working.
Oh, I like what old S.M. Lockridge, he's a black preacher years ago, wonderful preacher, and he preached a message on "That's My King," and he went through and he talked about some of the things that he finds in Scripture about Jesus, and at the end of every statement he said, "That's my King." And then he'd tell another statement about Jesus and he said, "That's my King." And he went all the way through for about 10 minutes of his sermon and he'd just read about something, a fact that is found in Scripture about Jesus, and he'd say, "That's my King." And at the end of it, you know what he said? And I like it. He said, "I wish I could tell you a little bit something about him. I wish I could describe him to you tonight. I feel the same way as I stand up here tonight. Oh, I've told you just a little bit about him, but I wish I could tell you something about him tonight, because that's my King, the one that Solomon couldn't compare to, the one that was greater than Moses, the one before Abraham was, he is. I wish I could describe him to you tonight, tell you about the one that I serve." Oh, every person who has ever heard about Jesus Christ and has responded by coming to him for salvation can echo everything that the Queen of Sheba discovered. He'll always give you back far more than you could ever give up. He will reveal to you the answers to the riddles and problems of your life. He will always prove to be far more glorious than anyone could ever articulate about him. And many times he'll leave you flabbergasted with your hand over your mouth and saying, "Wow, I never could have even imagined." I want every person to stand all over this building this evening. You know something? Everybody who's ever told me about Jesus before I met him never told me the full story. They never really described him fully to me, because he's far better to me than they ever said he would be. I have found him to be better than anybody has ever described him to be to me. I have found his mercy to go further than anybody ever said it would go. I have found his love to reach down in places that nobody ever described or said it could. I have known his wisdom to reach into my life in the darkest moments that nobody ever even began to explain to me how far that it would reach. Have you found that to be true? I found that to be true this evening. Oh, and as we're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection, you know what I want us to do? I want to say, "Oh, he's the one that's greater. He's the one that's above all. He's the one that deserves my praise, because the half hasn't been told about my King. The half hasn't been told about my resurrected Savior, the one who is above and beyond all else." I can't exhaust it tonight. I'm not even going to try to you. Oh, but I just tell you this. I wish I could tell you a little something about him, but I suppose that I haven't even scratched the surface. And if I stood up here for about 20 hours and I delivered, if my voice had lasted that long, I know it wouldn't. But if I could stand up here for 20 hours until every bit of breath left my body, I still wouldn't have scratched the surface about who he is, because he's still bigger than that. Because we have 66 books that tie into Jesus over there. And let me tell you, brother, the world couldn't contain the books that could be written on top of those about the glory of who he is. Oh yeah. So you know what I want us to do tonight in closing? I want every one of us to lift our hands. I want you to close your eyes if you're able. And I want you to do this for just a few moments. I'm not going to put a time limit on it. I want us to lift our hands and I want us to worship him like he's the only one in the room. Like there's nobody else here. I don't care who's sitting next to you. I don't care who's behind you or in front of you. I want you to worship him like he's the only one in the room, for an audience of one. Because a greater than Solomon is here. There ain't nobody that can compare to our King. Oh yes, hallelujah. Glory be unto Jesus Christ. Glory in the church forever. Oh, we praise your name. We praise your name. There's none that can compare to our King. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we can't even begin to describe you, Lord. We can't even begin to worship you. We can't even begin to give you glory that's worthy of your name. Glory be unto Jesus in the church forever. World without end. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Let us shout with a voice of triumph tonight. Oh, we rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Glory be unto your name. Glory be unto your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. 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 Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. We praise your name. Oh, we praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we worship you for an audience of one. For an audience of one. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Like you. There's none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. None to be compared. Greater in your wisdom. Greater in your works. Greater in how wonderful you are. There's none to be compared. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, thank you. Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, we bless your name this evening, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. Oh, I wish I could describe you, Lord. You're above all else. You're beyond all that I could ever say. Lord, I can't exhaust it. I can't even begin to scratch it, Lord. But Lord, I pray, let glory be unto your name. Oh, glory.
Presence of God here tonight that we feel. Paul would write these words. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that she might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, I'm praying in this time when we're leading into the, going to celebrate the resurrection, that we would just get a glimpse of the height and the breadth and the depth of the knowledge of the love of God. Just a little glimpse of it, God. Give us a glimpse and remind us of what it looks like. And let us be filled with all the fullness of God. And then he goes on to say, we know this verse, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And I like how I close it. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I say, Lord, that's my amen tonight. just let me see just a glimpse of the height and the breadth of it. We don't get the scope of it. I know we don't. I don't get it. I'm a preacher and I don't get it. I look at it sometimes and I say, Lord, I feel like I'm throwing mud against a wall just hoping something will stick somewhere. But you know what? I believe he'll bless a feeble effort, because I know one thing. He blesses his word. I know that. And you know what? I'm thankful this evening. We can sit here tonight and we can feel the presence of God and we can rejoice. Because it doesn't matter how many times I stand behind this pulpit and tell you how good he is. How many times somebody stands in Walmart and talks about something that God's done for them. You know what? You're going to find him to be better than that. You're going to find him to be bigger than that. And I am so glad for that this evening, because that's what this journey of faith is all about. As this old song says, it gets sweeter as the days go by. Oh, and I'm glad it does. God bless you all. I appreciate you this evening. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord.